Unspoiled Network podcast.
This is Undeclared, The Vampire Diaries, Season 4, Episode 5, We All Go a Little Mad Sometimes. In this episode, we have beheadings, breakups, betrayals, and blubbering. Welcome to Undeclared.
Mystic Falls, I was born here. This is my home.
And mine.
And mine.
For centuries, supernatural creatures have lived among us.
They are vampires, werewolves, doppelgangers, witches.
And even hybrids.
Now I'm one of them, a vampire. And everything I used to feel has changed.
Your feelings for him have been magnified. I can't do this, Elena. Not anymore.
I know.
Her brother is the key to finding the cure.
I call this a hunter's mark. The more I kill, the more it grows. It's invisible to anyone but another hunter.
And I will stop at nothing to make her human again.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Jamie.
I'm Krista.
And yeah, a lot happens in this episode.
No joke.
Do you have any initial thoughts before your rundown?
I was shocked there were two breakups.
Yeah. One's only for show. Well, yeah. It might be for real now, actually.
At the end, it seemed for real.
Yeah. We have to see. But it started out as a ruse.
Yeah, the whole thing just kind of surprised me. I was like, whoa, okay then. Which I totally get, though.
Yeah.
We're talking around it. Should I just start in?
Yes.
Okay. 405, nope. 406, we all go a little mad.
Oh, shit, I said the wrong number.
Oh.
I still had 5 written on my notes. Sorry.
Well, I'm glad
episode
we
6.
Made the same mistake. So Connor has been haunting Elena and making her see other people as him. First victim when she tries to make Connor go away, Jeremy, because of course. He has his ring on, which I still don't understand. But when Jeremy wakes up, he's met with Damon Snark because Elena was able to call Damon for help, and he called Stefan because he didn't think Elena would not want Stefan there. But Elena doesn't trust Stefan and somehow trusts Damon? To be fair, Stefan still hasn't explained the deal to Klaus with her. However, it's the hybrids who are more upset because Dean, the hybrid from the last episode, did die as a diversion to get Connor. I think Haley is sticking around for a while because Klaus has given her a nickname. I also think that he and Haley are going to end up together because if you start hating Klaus, you end up wanting him or something. For now, though, it looks like Haley's on deck because Caroline first fake dumps Tyler to keep up the hybrid training distraction. Klaus goes over to the Gilberts because he knows what Elena's going through. It's the Hunter's Curse, where the Hunter's ghost haunts you until you die. Except Klaus can't die. Klaus tells her this after he kidnaps her and puts her in a room with a lot of stuff Elena could probably use to kill herself. Yeah. She starts seeing Connor again, but then it turns to Catherine. Probably because Catherine hasn't been around in a while, and she's entertaining. I'm here for it. Stefan calls his real true love, Caroline, to help rescue Elena. Not that I'm shipping them. Caroline and Taylor break it to Chris the hybrid. Break it that Chris the hybrid isn't sired to Klaus anymore and can help them. I said Tyler, didn't I?
I said Taylor.
Damn it. Same difference. Whatever. Caroline gets her flirt on to distract Klaus. She uses partial truth to cover the scam, which I applaud. But when Stefan breaks it in to get Elena, she sees Connor instead and stabs Stefan with a pipe, only to escape. Elena goes to Wickery Bridge and sees her curse as her mom, who tries to convince her it's time to die and that Jeremy will be okay because he can see ghosts and she can help him that way. Like Rick is doing now? While all that is going on, Damon tells Bonnie Klaus snatched Elena and asks for help. She tells him she can ask Professor McSleazy for help and goes to the school where Jeremy and Matt are helping Professor McSleazy out with some exhibit thing, probably related to the big bad coming later in the season. Side note. Silas is a Greek name with origins from the name Saul. It means the youngest. Ketzia is Nahuatl, or Aztec for powerful or bountiful one. This is going to bug me big time that Silas got the first tombstone but also knew an Aztec witch. If they had named her Ketzia, then she'd be one of Job's daughters in Hebrew. But we didn't go down that road, did we, writers?
Well, anyway. Wait. Can I cut in?
Sure.
How were you spelling Ketsia?
Ketsia, I did it phonetically and it ended up popping up with a Q.
Because doesn't Shane say Ketsia?
No, I thought he kept on saying Ketsia.
Okay.
Okay, well, either way, it doesn't make sense. So April tells Matt, because, like, it would be at the same time as, like, Jesus dying, and they clearly had a tomb for him. So, like...
We can get into it. It's fine. I just thought that he said Ketsia.
Okay. Well, I thought it was Ketsia.
Anyway, I think he says it both ways. I think that's
Oh, it's not fair. That's not fair. But also, they're in the U.S., right?
Oh, we don't know. We don't know where that tombstone was.
It's going to end up being in Mystic Falls.
That would be stupid.
But it will be.
Okay. Okay. Continue.
I mean, the fucking Vikings somehow showed up in Mystic Falls, even though that didn't fucking happen. Just as fuck it all.
We broke you. The so history, annoying. The inconsistent history on this show has broken you.
It was the name Silas. I got so mad. I yelled out, are you fucking kidding me? Silas?
Silas is a Hebrew name, is it not?
Silas? Two? Silas is Greek version of Saul.
Okay, because this is a tangent. Sorry, guys. She will finish her thing.
I will, but I got derailed on this generally. It took me a while to get over this.
On Weeds, the oldest son's name was Silas. And they, I think, were supposed to be Jewish. But I could be wrong. Yeah. It's been a long time since I've watched Weeds.
Well, a lot of... like, you'll meet a lot of guys who are named Joshua who are Jewish, and that's an anglicized version of Yeshua.
All right.
So, Silas is a bad name, and if you have it, I'm sorry for you. My name's Krista. I know your pain. Anyway, still mad. So, April, darling sweet April, tells Matt and Jeremy, I'm calling these guys the B team, by the way. She tells them that her dad knew McSleazy. Also, Jeremy admits he has the mark to Matt. Thank you. Another side note, at the end of the show, Matt proves his worth by looking into McSleazy and passes on what he finds to Damon, telling someone something. Go B-team. Okay, I'm back on track. Bonnie has McSleazy talk to Damon. We find out if a new hunter is activated, Elena's curse will be wiped out. Damon tells Jeremy to kill a vampire. Jeremy says he's happy to kill Damon. And Damon calls Stefan to tell him the good news. This is when Stefan tells Damon Elena ran away, and Damon immediately knows where she's going to go so he can stop her from killing herself. While Damon is trying to talk Elena off of Wickery Bridge, we go back to the Lockwoods where Jeremy kills Chris with the help of Klaus. So two black guys at once, huh, show? Jeremy's mark is activated, Damon is able to save Elena, and Tyler and Haley are outraged that they traded Chris's life for Elena. How does Elena not feel guilty about this, by the way? Didn't she not want her brother to be killing people and everything? But Damon quotes Heathers, and that's a balm on my soul. I know the movie's problematic, and I hate that, but my dad and I used to quote it at each other.
Then fuck me gently with a chainsaw.
I love my dead gay son. It was like our Marco Polo. Then we have Tyler and Caroline break up. And then Stefan and Elena break up. What a miss.
You missed April being dumb for a second. It's not her fault.
Oh, that she doesn't recognize the guy at first?
No. I know why they did it, but I just found it really annoying that she's like, have you seen Rebecca? She's supposed to help me with this thing. It was like so robotic.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's supposed to sort of emphasize that she, yeah, asked this last week, but they made her forget that she went through a whole thing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Poor kid.
Other than that, no, I don't think you've missed anything.
Awesome.
We can get to the Silas and Ketsia stuff more in depth, but not to defend the writers or anything. But I don't think they put a lot of thought into the names. I think they find cool names.
Why? That seem old. Why do they not think of these things?
Because when you've got Finn, Niklaus, Elijah, Rebecca, and yes. Cole, these
they
names
are all upsetting things. All of it is upsetting to me.
They don't fit together. None of those are Viking names.
Yes, and I bitched about that. I stand on this hill of shitty naming.
Also, there's Damon and Stefan Salvatore, who are from Mystic Falls, Virginia, circa 1860s. 1850s, yes. Probably when they were born. Maybe 1840s is when they were born. In the books, and you know how I feel about the books, they're actually, I believe, from Italy originally.
Yes, which would not give them the names Damon and Stefan.
Just Salvatore.
Salvatore would work. Yeah. Also, like, and their dad's name was Giuseppe. Mm-hmm. But also, you show me the Italians that get accepted as white people in fucking Confederate. Anyway. Look, guys. Maybe this isn't a name that broke me. I'm not sure. Just Silas. Silas, are you fucking kidding me? It came out of my mouth.
Quetzia is spelled Q-E-T-S-I-Y-A-H.
That is the Aztec.
Okay.
It's a cool name. That one's a cool name. I'm assuming they looked it up because it does mean powerful or bountiful one.
It's possible. I don't have a deep dive on that or anything, but it's also, I mean, we don't know anything. We don't know where they lived. We don't know when they lived.
You know it's going to be Mystic Falls.
Do I?
I do.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I don't know anything. I know everything.
And then on top of which, like, Aztecs weren't in Virginia. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
All you know is that this tombstone, with this rock that is supposedly the first tombstone, was sent to the college. That's what Shane says. So it could be from Greece.
It could with an Aztec witch.
Could be from South America.
With a Greek dude.
Who knows where?
Which is the first one. Nope, those continents have not hung out together.
I don't know why they chose the name Silas. They probably thought it sounded old and cool.
It's there's fucking baby name books everywhere. What the fuck? Jesus fucking Christ.
This should not be a thing that bothers you.
It bothers me greatly.
Oh, buddy, you okay?
Oh, no. Is the baby okay?
He just had a little cough.
Oh, no.
He's sitting on my lap. I don't know if you guys can hear him purring.
I can't.
Okay. All right, so we start out with Elena having a hard time sleeping. She goes in the kitchen and is surprised by Connor, who taunts her. And because he's dead, she thinks he's a ghost. She calls for Jeremy, which makes sense if Jeremy can still see ghosts, which can he? We don't really know.
Yeah, none of it makes sense. Nothing makes sense.
I said that they haven't used that Deus Ex Machina since last season when he saw Rose. But he's now supernatural because he's a potential hunter, I think. Although I don't know, because this brings up the question of the ring.
Yeah, the ring saved him, so he's not supernatural before he kills.
Right. That was my question, but then when later he sort of activates this hunter status, I think from that point on, now he's a supernatural being.
That's going to come. He's going to die, isn't he? He's going to die.
I don't know.
I mean, you do.
I do.
But I don't. You can't tell me. Yeah.
So she calls for Jeremy. Connor chokes her. I really would have liked to have seen the scene from someone else's perspective of her fighting off this thing choking her when there's nothing there.
Yeah.
She grabs a knife. Connor comes towards her. She stabs him in the neck, except it's not Connor. It's Jeremy. And she killed him.
Yes.
But luckily he was wearing the Gilbert ring.
For whatever reason.
Which Damon is like, hey, it's a good thing he kept that thing after it turned Rick crazy. Even though we probably shouldn't be wearing it because it made Rick crazy.
Yeah.
Maybe Jeremy won't die as many times as Rick did.
Well, if the ring makes you want to kill vampires, and now he's a vampire hunter, this does not sound good for them living together.
The ring doesn't make you want to kill vampires.
Isn't that what happened to Rick?
No. No. Esther made him into a vampire hunter.
Yeah, but he was, like, killing people for not doing what the council should be doing.
Well, that's just because he was trying to do what the dark side of him thought was the right thing to do. Which was kill all the vampires, because vampires are a plague. But the ring didn't make him want to kill vampires. He already wanted to kill vampires. He just happened to become friends with them.
I mean, I think Jeremy wants to kill vampires too, except he kind of loves one of them.
Which one?
His sister?
Oh, right.
Just throwing it out there.
Well, I was thinking, like, Bonnie's not a vampire. What are you talking about?
Oh, no. Familial love. Sorry.
Do you want to leave? Make up your mind. Sorry.
At first I was like, what? Oh, the cat.
Yeah, sorry. I had to adjust myself, and that just disturbed him. Like, oh God, you moved. Now I have to go. All right, so Jeremy's laying dead on the couch. Elena's all upset. Damon's like, why didn't you call Stefan? She says she's mad at Stefan because he's working with Klaus and he's lying about it. He's compelling Jeremy and she doesn't trust him right now. Damon again says, you should have called him though. And then he walks in and he's like, P.S. I called him.
Which I appreciated.
Elena doesn't want to be around Stefan. So she excuses herself to go take a shower and wash her brother's blood off of her. And as soon as she leaves, Jeremy wakes up.
And they don't give him any answers, which I think is utter bullshit.
Yeah, what does Damon say to him?
It says something like, read an ebook.
Yeah, really unhelpful, Damon.
Like that's such a, I wonder why Jeremy hates all of you.
So Stefan follows Elena upstairs and is like, let me help you. And she's like, I don't want your help. And he's like, but you'll accept Damon's help. And she's like, no. Don't make this about Damon. You've been lying to me. And he tells her that working with Klaus is not what she thinks, but she doesn't care because he's been lying and compelling her brother and lying about that too. Mm-hmm. She just doesn't want to be around him. So I just think it's funny that she's walking up the stairs, Jeremy wakes up, and she keeps walking up the stairs.
Yeah, for someone who cares desperately about her brother. Anyway. Yeah,
she's also really self-centered.
Yes.
At Tyler's, Haley and another hybrid named Chris are paying their respects to Dean, which surprises Tyler, who slept off all of his boozing from the night before.
Ugh.
Haley does this whole thing where she walks over to Tyler and, like, pours the shot that she has into his mouth, and she makes this big show of, like, wiping his mouth with her fingers and then putting her fingers in her mouth, and then we realize, like, oh, Klaus is here, and she's just doing this for show. Tyler claims that he didn't know Klaus was back. Klaus makes a big deal about expositing over Dean's death and Elena killing the hunter. Tyler asks why he cares, which Klaus says his reasons have ceased to matter anyway. So dramatic.
He is like a kid in a high school play.
Klaus is just so extra.
Yes.
About everything. So Caroline comes in, makes a big show of giving Tyler his stuff back. And Tyler's like, oh, it's not a good time. And they're making a pretty convincing show of this, so Klaus can't help himself. He comes into the room to greet Caroline.
Mm-hmm.
And then gathers his hybrid so that Caroline, Tyler, and Haley can hash out their drama from his perspective. Once they're out of earshot, Caroline smiles and thanks Haley for the heads up that Klaus is back. Tyler says that they're good liars and kisses Caroline as Haley watches on. jealously?
I don't think so.
I think it was a weird expression.
She wishes she had somebody, but I don't think it's Tyler.
It was just a very weird expression. Now, you said something in your recap that I have to question.
Okay.
What makes you think that Haley and Klaus are going to get together?
Because he called her a pet name.
But he's got names for everyone. He's like Sawyer.
No, he has pet names for people who stick around. Like, Chris got a name. That meant that hybrid was going to die.
Sure.
But he calls her, you know, Wolf Girl, and she's a hot chick on the show.
Yeah.
So I think she's sticking around.
I think she's sticking around. I want to know what makes you think that she and Klaus are going to hook up or get together or whatever it was that you said.
I think the thing with Caroline isn't going to work out, and Klaus needs somebody to be paying attention to so we can remember that he can be kind of decent.
Okay. I just think it's a weird thing to pull from no context.
I think it's just the nickname thing.
Okay. He calls her Little Wolf, I believe.
Yes. Little Wolf.
Any other thoughts on this whole thing, this whole scene with Klaus and Caroline and Tyler and Haley and Chris and all of it?
Sucks to be Chris, man.
Yeah, I mean, I did write about that trope last week about when the hybrids get a name, you know, they're
yeah, that's where I pulled that from. It was definitely yeah. You that pointed that out.
Yeah, so because I read that, then this week when I was rewatching this, I was like, uh-oh, someone's been given a name. I did not remember the detail that he was the specific one who got killed at the end.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you didn't really spoil me as he died in this episode.
Yeah. No, I knew what happened in this episode. Like, I knew the beats. I was doing a rewatch a while ago. Like, I've rewatched the whole thing, and then I was rewatching for the show, and then I put it aside because we put it aside. And then when we decided to start back up, I started up my rewatch and watched all the rest of season 3, all of season 4, 5, 6, and now I'm in season 7.
So jealous.
But because I watched so much, like I remembered the main beats, but I didn't remember that the specific hybrid that was here in this scene was the same hybrid that at the end got killed.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew that a hybrid gets killed. And when I started rewatching this the other day, I was like, oh, he's got a name. So he's the one at the end that gets killed. Got it.
Yep.
So Elena showers, but she hallucinates that blood is coming from the shower. Downstairs, Damon's cleaning Jeremy's blood in the kitchen when Stefan enters. He has sent Jeremy to school where Bonnie has him volunteering for an occult exhibit, which is a weird thing to have at a high school.
Seriously, the things that happen at that high school are just dumbfounding.
I mean, they never seem to have classes, really.
No, classes are optional, but exhibits on the occult, totally reasonable.
Stefan's phone rings, and it's Klaus. Damon snarks about paying the piper, dancing with the devil, blah, blah, blah. Tells him to answer, otherwise it seems like he's avoiding. And when you're avoiding, that means that you're up to something.
Mm-hmm.
So Stefan answers by saying to Klaus that he doesn't want to talk about it. Klaus can't imagine why. Stefan says it wouldn't be necessary if he weren't sworn to secrecy. Klaus says that doesn't matter anymore. The hunter was one of five. They just need to find another one. Stefan notes that Klaus is using his calm voice today. So who's getting killed? Klaus says, well, it's not you, if that's what you're wondering. And he wants to know how Elena is and if the hallucinations have started yet. Stefan wants to know how he knows that. Klaus, of course, is walking up to Elena's house when they have this conversation. So they meet outside. Stefan won't let him in. Klaus reveals that after he killed the original five hunters, he found out that there was a curse put on whoever killed a hunter by the witches. Basically, if you stop one of the hunters from fulfilling his destiny, he'll take you down with him, torturing you until you kill yourself, making you their final vampire kill.
How do you know it's going to be a vampire? Like, if they get killed by somebody else...
No, it specifically says, if the hunter is killed by that which they hunt.
Oh, okay.
So he says that he needs Elena to come with him, but Stefan is like, nah, that's not happening. And Klaus says if they leave her alone, she'll kill herself before the night is over. But Stefan thinks she's stronger than that.
No, she's not.
She's not.
She never has been. That one I just laughed at.
I know. Like, Stefan, when? When has she ever been stronger than that? Like, she tries to fight it, but she doesn't fight very long.
No, because she's guilt girl, except for when it makes sense that she would feel guilt. I'm like, I almost wrote this and then forgot it while I was writing. I was like, Elena is neither Catholic nor Jewish. She is not used to guilt.
But she feels guilty all the time.
Yes, but in ridiculous ways.
Yeah. So she's inside being tormented by the Connor hallucination. She goes downstairs and hallucinates that Damon is Connor, so she runs outside. Klaus grabs her very quickly and takes her away. I really want to see I don't know if you ever watched The Flash.
No.
But on The Flash, when he's running, like, Flash speed, mm-hmm. they'll slow it down on the screen so you can kind of see what he sees. Or, if you think about in X-Men Days of Future Past, when we have Quicksilver, what I want to see is what this looks like when Klaus is speeding away with Elena. Does he have her thrown over his shoulder? Is he pulling her by her arm? Is he dragging her along? How does he get all the way back to his house with her?
It's really expensive to show that, so I'm guessing that's why they didn't go that route.
Sure, but I really need to know what this looks like.
Fair.
So then we go to the school where Jeremy actually tells Matt about the Hunter's Mark.
I was so proud of him, weren't you?
Yes. Which is why I wrote actually tells Matt.
Yeah. This episode is not a bad Jeremy episode.
It's not. April comes up to say hello, followed by Shane, who thanks them for helping with the exhibit. He walks away and April wonders why he looks familiar. Now, this didn't bother me because if she never really had any interactions with him herself and she just happened to, like, why is he familiar? And then remembers later, like, oh, right, my dad did that lecture at the school.
Yeah, that's legitimate.
Yeah. Like, this wasn't April being dumb.
No.
And really, her asking if they've seen Rebecca isn't April being dumb either. It's just the way that she... The way the actress delivered those lines mm-hmm. was just so robotic that I was like, ugh, girl.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, she's a really cute actress, but I don't think she's the best actress.
She's adorable, though. She overall. Makes you want her to be okay. Like, I keep on wanting to pet her on the head and tell her everything's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Lie, basically. I'm going to lie to her.
Meanwhile, Bonnie is over at Elena's, wondering how the brothers managed to lose her. Stefan is more concerned about the witch's curse that Klaus was talking about, and Bonnie says that she can't do that kind of magic, but offers to talk to Shane because he seems to know everything about everything. So Stefan sends them to do that while he goes to try to get Elena back. Klaus has put Elena in this windowless room in his mansion where he bricked up the windows to preserve the art, which is smart. You don't want that shit getting too much sunlight.
No, it's definitely too nice for that.
He tells her that Connor is trying to get her to kill herself. And she says she wouldn't do that. He reveals that he wanted to when he went through it. And she's like, wait, you went through this? And he says, for 52 years, 4 months, and 9 days, he was relentlessly tortured. Whee. She asks if Stefan knew this. And Klaus says that Stefan only knew what he needed to know. And that was to keep the Hunter alive. Which is true.
Mm-hmm.
As he's leaving, she asks how he made it stop, and he says he didn't. It just stopped one day. I thought, when I first saw this, that he was lying. That he did know. Because Klaus always has, like, one card up his sleeve.
Yeah.
So I thought he knew, but he wasn't going to tell her, because this way he gets to control her. But as it turns out, he actually didn't know.
Yeah.
So Chris is left to guard Elena. Stefan, Caroline, and Tyler share information. Tyler tells him about their plan to help the hybrids break the Sire bond, and it turns out that Chris is not bound to Klaus anymore.
I was so happy, and then...
Yeah. Elena is being tormented by Connor. He makes her admit that she liked killing him. He makes her feel guilty about surviving when her parents died, tells her to kill herself, she covers her ears, and so he turns into Catherine. And I liked that he turned into Catherine, not just because it's always fun to see Catherine, but because she has a history with Catherine that is going to make these hallucinations get to her in a way that Connor saying the exact same thing will not.
Yeah.
Because Connor didn't know her, so she can ignore it. But Catherine being like, oh, look at you, always crying. Like, basically saying all of the things about Elena that she doesn't want to admit to herself. Hearing it come out of Catherine's mouth is going to hurt more.
Yeah.
So I thought that was smart writing.
I thought it was excellent. I was very happy. Also, anytime Elena gets made fun of is fun.
I also just really love when Catherine's around.
Yeah, she's really, like, it has to be fun for the actress, too.
Yeah. Even though this isn't Catherine, like, actually Catherine, it's just a hallucination. It's just, she's so fun. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Nina Dobrev has so much fun playing her.
Yeah, once they get, you know, because crying all the time has to be really, really exhausting.
Ugh, seriously. At the exhibit, Shane is telling the crowd about what is believed to be the world's first tombstone. Mm. While he talks, April realizes why Shane looks familiar. As Shane continues to talk about whose tombstone this might be, telling a story about how he was a powerful witch who created a spell for immortality, but he double-crossed another witch who loved him, and so he was buried alive. Bonnie and Damon come in, the tail end of this. Shane finishes up and heads over to Bonnie. She notes that the female witch in his story, Ketsia, sounds like a badass.
Mm-hmm.
He says that she was nothing compared to Silas. And, I mean, isn't it just like a man?
I was not going to say, but, you know, I was already so pissed his name was Silas.
It's like,
guys, so stupid.
Here's this all-powerful witch who, like, develops a spell for immortality. He pisses off his girlfriend. She then basically traps him to live forever somehow, stuck somewhere. But it's still the guy who's more powerful. If he was more powerful, he would not be disappeared.
Yeah. Silas, right? Means the younger. Ketsia means powerful one. Go fuck yourself, dude. You're Professor McSleazy. Go to hell. I have feelings.
I just think that this guy is taking the guy side of the story, like all historians do. If that makes me a misandrist, then so be it.
You're adorable.
I'm never going to stop being amused that guy thinks that Natasha and I are misandrists.
Oh, I just died laughing. I was laughing so hard.
We might be, kind of, but that's because it's deserved. It's on a case-by-case basis.
Then it's not misandry. It's just that you don't like asshole guys.
Sure. Yes. True. Catherine is tormenting Elena. Don't you ever stop crying. Poor Elena, always the victim. Except now you're a killer. What does Stefan think of the new you? The girl he fell in love with is gone, you know. You're like me now. Maybe worse. I was you before you even existed. When Stefan knew the real me, he hated me. And now he's going to hate you too. But at least you still have Damon. It's brilliant. If anybody else, if any other hallucination said this to her, she would ignore it. She would just be like, you're wrong. How dare you? Ugh. But Catherine saying it makes it true. Damon waits for Bonnie and Shane in Alaric's office, which he still has his school office.
Yeah, none of this makes sense.
No one has cleaned out his desk.
No one makes
There's
sense.
There's still booze in it. How was Alaric not fired? Bonnie and Shane come in with Bonnie telling Shane that Damon is kind of an expert on the subject, too. Shane asks what his specialty is, and Damon answers the origin of the species. Shane notes that Darwin might have him beat there, and Damon responds, not that species. Which is pretty great.
It was very cute.
Damon hopes that Shane may explain this drawing that he came across, and he shows him the hunter's mark that Jeremy drew. And Shane is like, where'd you get this? Damon says it came to him in a dream. Shane, who is fishing, asks if he has a hunter in his car. Damon answers the way that Damon answers most things, which is sarcastically.
God bless him.
Shane explains that if a hunter is killed by a vampire, that vampire is cursed to be tormented until a new hunter is awakened. He says he has a bunch of research on it and offers to go get it for them. Damon thanks him, honestly, pretty sincerely.
Mm-hmm.
Bonnie asks how they're supposed to find a potential hunter, and Damon's like, yeah, about that. And then says, little Gilbert, we need your services.
Has he ever called Jeremy by his name? I swear to God.
Maybe once or twice.
The antagonism between the two of them is entertaining, but also, like, I actually feel bad for Jeremy.
I think that Damon has called him by his name a few times, but usually he has some other thing to call him.
Like, hey, dude, we're going to do something shitty to you again. Ready?
And now we have the scene of Caroline and Klaus at the grill. She walks up, noting that the place looks pretty good considering one of your hybrids was blown up here recently.
Mm-hmm.
She then asks for him to give Elena back.
Yeah, who does the cleaning in Mystic Falls?
I don't know. They cleaned that place up real quick.
Yeah.
It was probably Matt.
Oh. Oh, Matt. How does he even pass any of his classes ever?
I don't know.
Okay, sorry.
He must have given up football.
Oh, man.
So Klaus is not stupid. He knows that Caroline was sent to sweet talk him. And he declines her offer to set Elena free, saying that Elena needs his help. Caroline just rolls her eyes. He explains that he's not going to give her the gory details since she has enough on her plate already. She tells him that that is none of his business. He says if Tyler was still sired to him, he would never have allowed him to hurt her. So then he offers her a drink and she's like, okay, fine. At Klaus's mansion, Stefan and Tyler are trying to get Chris on board with their plan. They say that they'll keep him safe and get him away from Klaus when they're done. And we have more of Catherine tormenting Elena, bringing up that Elena was such a good girl when she was human, and yet everyone around her ended up being collateral damage. She brings up everything that Bonnie has lost and how Bonnie probably actually hates you. She tries to convince Elena to kill herself, but Elena resists. Catherine says that Elena's existence brings everyone around her pain, which maybe
not
was
wrong.
Right. Maybe it was worth it when you were human, but now you're a vampire. What do you matter? You deserve to die. And Elena starts crying again.
That actress better have stock in Visine. Holy fuck.
I heard something about Demi Moore that she was cast in Ghost because she literally can cry out of either eye on command.
Rachel Weisz can do the same thing.
Really?
Yeah. She asked what the blocking was going to be in this one scene in Constantine so that she could make sure to cry out of the right eye.
I don't know how that's something you can control.
I don't know either.
Also about Demi Moore and Ghost, when she got hired for the role, she had really long hair, and then she went and chopped it off, and they were pretty upset until they saw her on camera, and they were like, actually,
yeah,
it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
So Bonnie goes back to Damon. Oh, no. Sorry, skipped a scene. Chris gets on board and sends these other two hybrids to Tyler, telling them that it's something about Caroline. And once they've gone, Chris gives Stefan the keys to the room where Elena is. Stefan goes in, finds Elena curled up on the floor crying, and she sees him as Connor and stabs him with a pipe and runs away. I think, like, you said something in your recap about how Klaus put her in this room where she has nothing that she can use to kill herself, which is true. There's nothing wood in there. She wouldn't have been able, there's no sunlight that can get in and no wood. She wouldn't have been able to kill herself. She could have hurt herself.
Well, the artwork has wood in it.
Does it?
Yeah, the canvases have wood as the backing. So she could have totally killed herself.
I guess she really would have had to think about what those frames are.
I think the curse would have told her.
Maybe.
Anyway.
So Bonnie comes back to Damon with a bunch of, like a file with a bunch of papers full of details about the five. She asks how she didn't know any of this stuff about Jeremy. And Damon tells her that a witch that can't use her powers gets left out of the important conversations. So Jeremy comes in asking about Elena. Bonnie tells him that he basically has to trigger his hunter status by killing a vampire. So he's like, cool, give me a steak. I'll kill Damon right now.
I loved it. I loved it so hard.
Damon's response is, easy, Van Helsing. We'll get you one. Don't worry. Which I thought was fun.
Yes.
Bonnie wants him to know what he's getting himself into and gives him the file on the five. Damon calls Stefan to let him know that they've solved the Elena problem, but Stefan has to reveal that he's lost her. And he tells Damon to go find her and talk her down because she'll listen to him. So then Caroline receives the following texts from Stefan, which flash by on the screen really fast. So I'm glad that the transcript actually wrote them out. He says, I lost Elena. I need a vampire to kill. I'll turn someone if I have to. Get an answer fast.
Oh, that explains a lot more. While she was just like, here's all the data.
Yeah. So she smiles at Klaus and admits that she wasn't just there to get him to release Elena. She was also there to distract him while Stefan broke Elena out, which he did, but then he lost her.
Mm-hmm.
Klaus is furious. She tries to stop him and he tells her that she's beautiful, but he will kill her.
Mm-hmm.
So she says they figured out how to stop the hallucinations. And he tells her that she has 10 seconds.
Yeah, I'd be pissed too.
Yeah, Klaus actually, I mean, yeah, he has his own reasons for wanting Elena to, like, stay safe and be cured or whatever, because then he can make his hybrids.
Mm-hmm.
But he also does know what she's going through and is trying to keep her alive, which they should appreciate. I know they have a bad history. I know Klaus has betrayed them a lot of times. But in this case, I'm sorry, Sansa just had a sneezing fit and it distracted me.
Aww.
She just sneezed like 5 times. In this case, they're all on the same side.
Yes.
They all want Elena to be cured for one reason or another. Once she's cured, if that's what happens, then they can deal with the Klaus problem of not allowing him to kidnap her and take her away so that he can use her as a blood bank. But for now, he wants her to be human just as much as they do.
Yeah, like, let him do his thing, guys.
Yeah. He's got better resources than you guys do. And usually, when you guys have a plan, you fuck it all up.
Yes. To be fair, if anyone has a plan, it gets all fucked up.
Well, sure. There was one trope that was pointed out where if we hear about the plan, it's not going to go according to plan. But if we don't hear the plan, it goes pretty well.
Yeah.
This episode is sort of a little of both. So Elena is walking with Catherine and Connor flanking her. Connor asks if she's ready to die yet, and Catherine tells her that she can't take back what she did and that she deserves to die. Elena arrives at Wickery Bridge, and suddenly it's her mother that appears.
Mm-hmm.
Her mother knows what she's going through. This was the bridge where she should have died twice. Elena doesn't know what to do. Her mother tells her she knows exactly what to do. Elena looks at her daylight ring, and her mother tells her that the sun is coming up soon, and then it will all be over. Elena says, because she's a monster and deserves to die, and she throws her ring in the water. But then she's like, oh, wait, I can't leave Jeremy. And her mom's like, oh, no, it'll be fine, because you'll be a ghost and you can help him. Which is when Elena should have stopped believing that this was her mom in some way.
Yep.
But instead she cries and apologizes to her mother. Her mom says that Elena was everything she wanted her to be, but then she died and was supposed to stay dead. Then Damon walks up and says her name. She's surprised to see him, asking how he found her. And he's like, it wasn't that hard. Third time's a charm. She tells him that he was right. Vampires do kill people. And Stefan was right. She can't live with herself. He thinks she's being pessimistic.
Mm-hmm.
Asks her to go somewhere to talk about it. She looks at the sun that's starting to rise. And he notices that her ring is gone and asks her where it is.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go back to Tyler's house, where he and Haley are saying goodbye to Chris. But when he opens the door, Klaus is there. He is unhappy. He's got Chris by the throat and asks if he knows what he meant when he said not to let Elena out of his sight. Tyler tries to take the blame, so Klaus offers to kill him instead. Haley's like, wait, no one has to die.
Actually.
Klaus reminds her to mind her own business. She says that Tyler is covering for her, so go ahead and kill her. She'd rather die than end up as one of Klaus's sired little bitches. Klaus tells her not to tempt him and turns back to Chris. He says that Chris's existence is to serve him, to please him. Chris apologizes and says he won't fail him again, which Klaus agrees and lets him leave. Which everybody should have known something was up.
Yeah, that made no sense.
When Klaus decided not to kill him himself, they all should have known that something was up. He opens the door, Stefan comes in and stakes him, and then Jeremy comes in with a meat cleaver.
Which is the second time that Jeremy's had to behead something.
Yes. We go back to Damon trying to convince Elena to go inside somewhere while Connor tells her not to. Jeremy cuts off Chris's head to Tyler and Haley's horror. Then Elena feels the curse fade away. The tattoo grows on Jeremy's arm. Elena realizes that Connor is gone, but then she starts to burn because the sun's coming up, so Damon grabs her and throws them into the water.
Yes.
Would that work? Is there not enough sunlight underwater?
I the only thing I can think is there's got to be direct skin contact, but you have to dive pretty fucking deep under, like, did he take her under the bridge?
He must have. But then, like, what, leave her tethered somewhere so that he can dive down and try to find her daylight ring?
That's all I can think.
Again, would love to see this. Let's get, like, that storyboard or something.
Yeah.
Show me what this was supposed to look like, how this worked, where he was able to find her ring and keep her hidden from the sun quick enough so that she didn't burn up while he was looking for the ring.
At least in animatic, kids. Let's go.
Yeah. So she wakes up in her bed. Her daylight ring is on. Damon is there, and he tells her that he fished out of the river for her. He says the vampires don't like to swim, but I don't believe him. I started thinking, like, do vampires actually breathe? Because if not, then swimming would be great, because you don't even have to take a breath.
Yeah. You could see all sorts of shit all the time. It'd be awesome.
I know in some vampire lore, they don't actually breathe, but in other vampire lore, they do. So I don't know where this show falls in that.
Will we ever find out?
I don't know.
You do.
Sorry, lost my place. Just looking to see where I am.
Okay. Never forgiving you.
She says her head is clear and she remembers everything, but that it felt like a dream. She thanks him for saving her. I wrote that backwards, which is weird. Mm. She thanks him for saving her. She can't believe that she almost killed herself. He says that she wasn't herself. She takes his hand and says if it weren't for him. But he doesn't let her finish. He sighs and says he's going to take the high road. And he says that, yes, Stefan has been lying to her, but this rough patch that they've been going through isn't what she thinks. Everything Stefan has been doing, he's been doing for her. And then he tells her to throw his ashes over Wickery Bridge after Stefan kills him. But there might be a cure. And then we leave that scene on her, like, shocked face.
Yes.
Caroline, meanwhile, arrives at Tyler's house to find him wasted and Haley asleep on the couch. She tries explaining to him that they didn't have a choice. Tyler says that they told Chris they had his back and that he'd be free. And Caroline's like, well, we needed to help our friend. And he says, yeah, we helped our friend by handing over another friend. And Caroline starts to say, like, well, Chris wasn't a friend. But Tyler's like, he was a friend. He was in my pack. And then he asks how she got Klaus to agree to get rid of one of his hybrids. And she has to admit that she agreed to go on a date with Klaus.
I honestly think he uses that as the excuse to break up.
But have they broken up? Because he, like, throws the drink he just poured, he throws it and smashes the glass against a wall, which wakes Haley up and she's like, what's going on? But, like, we don't get any more information. I agree that it feels like this was one step too far.
Yeah.
Caroline was not thinking about how this was going to be for Tyler in any aspect. Even though she thinks, like, yeah, I agreed to go on a date with him because it will help keep up this ruse about you and Haley. Tyler doesn't care. Because she turned over his friend, who he spent all this time helping break the sire bond. It's just as bad as her turning over Tyler in his mind.
Well, it's just like, this guy did nothing but stick his neck out for all of you, and then you're going to just let him die. No, you're not going to let him die. You're going to kill him.
Yeah. And you're going to kill him so that you can help Elena. Because once again, everybody around Elena is collateral damage.
She's not going to feel bad about this either.
No, she won't, because she didn't know him. So yeah, it's just cannon fodder for her. It's just another person who had to die so that you can live. It's really pretty annoying.
Yeah, I really even if she felt bad about it, I don't care anymore. So many people have died because of Elena. It's not untrue. She should just die. Just die. Think of all the lives you'll save, woman.
I want to see somebody else. I don't want to see everybody get damseled or everybody be in danger all the time. But I would like, for once, for people to get hurt because of someone else's captivity. To save someone else from something. Instead of it always being everything in the world is centered around Elena.
Like, I'm sure we're supposed to feel like she would do it if she could because she picked Matt over her in the car crash. But somehow it doesn't matter.
Right. Even as a vampire, it's still everything is centered around Elena.
Yeah.
Damon goes back to the grill and he sits at his bar stool and he orders a bourbon for himself. And then he orders one for his dead best friend.
So sad.
Matt comes up commenting about the empty seat, saying, oh, you're still saving a seat for Mr. Saltzman. Damon says he's in the market for a new drinking buddy, but Matt's not qualified.
It's true. You know why? Because Matt is under 21.
Right. But also, Damon just doesn't like Matt.
But also, Matt is under 21. The show has nothing but alcohol for everyone all the time.
Matt knows that Damon doesn't like him, but he dug up some info on the explosion that he needs to tell someone about. April had mentioned that her father knew Shane, which wouldn't really raise any red flags, except that Shane knows all this stuff about the Hunter's Curse, and whenever somebody shows up in this town and has a lot of information about weird shit, that makes them creepy. So he went to the sheriff and asked her to look into the pastor's phone records. How he convinced Liz to do this for him, I don't know.
I think Liz is just like, I like you. You're still human. Good job on still being human, Matt.
I think if he went to Liz and was like, look, there's something fishy about this guy that's now like hanging around Bonnie, has a lot of information on this hunter that we all know about that like shot Tyler and, you know, blew up the grill the other day and blew up the hospital. Like, can you check his phone records? Can you check the pastor's phone records? Because April seems to remember her father knowing him. Like, I'm sure Liz knows enough about what's actually going on that Matt could just be like, here's why I think this would be something we should look into.
Yeah, remember that last guy who died? He tried to kill your daughter, or would have.
So it turns out that the pastor, for the month before he died, every single day called the same phone number, and then he called that number 10 times on the day he did die, the day he blew up his farm.
Ugh.
And that number belongs to Professor Shane.
Dun dun dun.
So we then cut to Shane, who is with Bonnie at his office. He asks if her friend got everything he needed from his files, and she says he did and thanks him. He sits down next to her and tells her that when her new hunter, which he knows they have, when he completes his mark, he's going to need her. He needs her to come to him because he's the only one who can help him.
Yeah, how about people share information before that?
Yeah, why don't you just be like, instead of hanging out here in the background, why don't I give you everything I know and why I know it and what this means for Jeremy and what I'm looking for once that hunter's mark is complete.
Still mad about Silas. Ugh, what the fuck?
And then we get the scene at the Gilbert house where Elena meets Stefan on her porch. She apologizes for stabbing him. He says he probably deserved it and mentions that Damon told him that he had clued her in about the curse.
Mm-hmm.
She asks if he killed Damon, and he says he didn't. And he sits down. He says that they all want the same thing, so they need to work together. She asks why he sent Damon to look for her instead of doing it himself, and he says that lately Damon seems to be able to get through to her in ways that he hasn't been able to do himself. She listens to Damon and she trusts him. She starts to say that she didn't mean to not trust Stefan, but he cuts her off and says that after everything they've been through, she should be able to admit it. She says that she isn't the same girl that he saved twice, and she wants nothing more than to get that girl back because who she's become is darker. She doesn't really understand it, but who she is and what she wants, and she trails off, and he asks what she wants or who she wants. And she admits that something has changed between her and Damon. It's like everything she felt for him before she turned, and again she trails off, and Stefan finishes her sentence with that it has been magnified. He says he's sorry. He says that when he was a Ripper, he understood why Elena cared for Damon, but he can't do it now. And she says she knows. And they look at each other, and then they look away, and they sit on the porch in silence.
For a show about vampires, it's a pretty accurate breakup scene.
Yeah, there's no, like, big blowout. There's no yelling or screaming. It's that she has changed. He's not stupid, and he's not blind.
Yeah.
She has feelings for his brother. He knew she had feelings for his brother before. She chose him, but then she died, and now she's different.
Yeah. She still cries just as much, though.
Yeah, but for whatever reason, she responds to Damon better than she responds to Stefan. And maybe that's because she thinks that Stefan is so good and she can't allow herself to feel any of this darkness with him, but she feels it. And with Damon, mm-hmm. she can be a little more of who she is becoming. Maybe it's because, like Rose said, Damon challenges her.
I miss Rose.
Yeah.
Can we have, like, a spinoff show with Rose and Lexi?
Maybe on the other side.
That would be so cool. Reasonable adults doing reasonable things. Just wacky.
So, where do you think this is going next?
Well, she's going to end up with Damon, and Stefan's going to be like, peace, I'm out. Except for he's like, well, I promised I'd make her human again. And Caroline is going to be very upset about all of this.
All of what?
Them breaking up. She's very team Stefan and Elena.
Mm-hmm.
If this Silas guy becomes a thing, I swear to God. I swear to God, Jamie.
What, you going to quit?
No, I'm going to bitch about it every time. It's going to be my Ben Barnes.
Ben Barnes. I hadn't thought about him today.
Guys, if you haven't seen our coverage or listened to our coverage of The Punisher, Jamie is a delight to listen to as the unspoiled one.
Yeah, if you want to hear me gush about Ben Barnes, get mad about Ben Barnes, yell a lot because of him, and also profess my undying love to him, that's where you get it.
And you find out exactly what she said that got him to retweet it.
He didn't retweet it. He liked it.
Oh, no, he liked it. But still.
He knows I exist. I'm sure he's forgotten by now. It's been 2 years.
Maybe he printed it out on his wall of compliments.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Because that's the only compliment he's ever gotten.
I said wall of compliments.
Oh, he is so handsome.
I miss that.
I miss having a reason to watch him. I guess I have to find something that he's in and just watch it. Why does he have to be in things I don't want to rewatch? When is Shadow and Bone coming out? God.
I don't.
I need more of him being bad. He's always bad. Ugh. Anyway. Ben Barnes is the love of my life, who I've never met and will never meet.
Sorry, Jason.
Jason's the actual love of my life in reality. In my fantasy world, it's It's Ben Barnes. That fucker.
I'm never getting over this. It brings me joy anytime I think about it.
Hmm. It brings me joy to think about him, too. Special kind of joy. This went all in a direction it wasn't supposed to.
I regret nothing.
So do you think that we're going to meet Silas and Kitsia?
Yeah, he's going to show up and be like, you know, an ancient something.
Isn't that just like retreading the whole originals thing, though?
No, he's going to be made of stone.
Made of stone.
Yes, and that tombstone is like his head, and they have to form Voltron to get the cure.
Didn't they already do that on Buffy?
Probably. Didn't they do everything on the show on Buffy?
No.
Okay. They did it on Supernatural, though.
Formed a Voltron?
Sure.
Did they do something like this on Supernatural?
I'm trying to think.
I don't remember anything like this.
Yeah, I was just thinking they had the alpha vampire for the originals.
Wasn't that played by Rick Warden? Rick? Not Warden. Rick? Black guy, right? Yeah.
Yes. Battlestar Galactica. Amazing, the best voice in the history of ever. Holy crap.
But they never had, like, pieces of something that they had to put together.
Yeah.
They did do that on Buffy, though, because that's what that... When Angel became Angelus, the first time we see him become Angelus.
Oh, yeah, the stone thing. Yeah, you're right. Okay. I was thinking more like the rock guy from Neverending Story because he's been on my mind lately. Don't ask me why.
I won't. I'm one of the people who didn't really care about that movie.
I don't know who you are. Probably liked Labyrinth.
I do like Labyrinth.
It can go to hell.
I'm not... Okay. I never liked The Neverending Story because I saw it. I think I was like 10. Thought it was boring. Labyrinth, I have seen maybe twice in my life. I haven't seen it since I was around 11 or so. I really love how David Bowie looks in it, but I've never been the type of person that like needs to watch it again. I've seen it. It was good. It's fine.
Yeah, I walked in on the one part where the puppets were trying to pull, what's her face? Jennifer Connelly's head off. Mm. That's where I came in the room.
Oh, so it traumatized you?
Totally traumatized me.
Yeah. No, I watched it with my friend when I was a kid, and I liked it. But the only part of that movie that really made, like, a deep impact on me was David Bowie.
Yeah, Neverending Story was way better.
I just thought it was really boring and never wanted to watch it again.
Podcast over.
I don't know. I was always more into... When I was a kid, I wasn't into, like, fantasy stuff that much. Like, I liked the Goonies. That was my thing.
Yeah.
I'd like to go on an adventure with a fun group of kids. I didn't really want to go into Muppet Land or ride on a big
luck dragon.
Dog dragon.
Oh, we played, like, my best friend and I pretended we were luck dragons.
Hmm. I did just buy a dragon to go on my shoulder.
I saw it. So cute.
Isn't that funny?
Yes. Are you going to be Daenerys for Halloween?
No.
Aw.
I don't know, because that thing actually, it's not a soft dragon, it kind of starts to hurt after a little while, so I'm definitely not wearing it to work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I'm going to do for the unspoiled Halloween thing. I might sit there with the dragon on my shoulder and just have Daenerys vibes, but no, not getting into I don't have a blonde wig anymore, and I'm certainly not going to try to put together any of the clothes that Daenerys had, because...
Why not? They're so...
I can't pull that shit off.
I just think in general they've got to be the most uncomfortable fucking things to wear ever.
God, her costumes were so great. But I couldn't pass up a dragon that sits on my shoulder. It was only $10.
Fair.
I also bought some mermaid stuff, so who knows where I'm going. Yeah. Do you have anything else to add?
No, not really.
Oh, I do have a couple of trivia.
Awesome.
Trivias. We all go a little mad sometimes is a direct quote from both the 1960 and 1998 versions of the film Psycho.
Yep.
It was also a quote that was used to reference Psycho in the well-known slasher flick Scream, which coincidentally was written by Kevin Williamson, the original showrunner for The Vampire Diaries.
Oh.
The hashtag during this airing is hashtag that vamp cray. Suicide, teenage suicide, don't do it. That's from Heathers?
Yes.
I knew it from something, but until you said Heathers, I was like, was it Heathers?
Yeah. It's the song that they keep on playing.
Yeah, I thought it was a song. Okay. Let's look up really quick who does that song.
Oh shit. If you hadn't said that, I could have told you immediately. Big Fun. Big Fun does it.
You are right. Big Fun. How did you remember that?
It's on all the shirts.
Oh, are they real? Okay. Are they a real band?
I don't think so. Not a real band. I think it got made up for the movie.
Okay. All right. The next episode's called My Brother's Keeper.
No reviews?
No reviews. So, get us those reviews, guys. Otherwise, Chris is going to make that noise again. My Brother's Keeper. Any theories?
They have to help out Jeremy. Because I don't know what they'll do with... I don't think either Salvatore brother is going to spin off the rails and we have one other brother. So what does this Hunter's Mark do to Jeremy? Dun, dun, dun.
Klaus has some brothers.
Yeah, but what we're going to do for that is have Jeremy kill Cole to make the mark come through. I just want Cole to die.
Where are you coming up with these things?
I want Cole to die. Well, he has to kill vampires to make the mark grow. They want the mark to grow, so kill Cole. Cole's a douche.
Yeah, he's also an original. He's not very easy to kill.
Yeah, and it would kill a lot of other vampires. So maybe that would just complete the mark if you just killed Cole. Done.
Who has the white oak stake? Klaus, right?
Yeah, but you know, Cole's a shit.
So Klaus isn't gonna hand over his brother.
Why not?
Because it's his brother. And other than Finn, who he hates, and even that when they killed Finn, he was pissed about that.
Yeah, because he didn't get to kill Finn. But for this, well, he wants a vampire to die. How are they gonna come up with these vampires? That's my question.
Well, I don't know. Gonna have to make some or gonna have to leave Mystic Falls because vampires have stopped coming there because if they come there, they die.
Yeah, it's smart. And I can't see him getting rid of all of his hybrids for this cure because that's kind of counterproductive.
Oh, no, certainly not.
So,
especially since there's no guarantee that the cure even exists. So why would he get rid of the hybrids he has with the hopes that he could make more later?
Yeah.
When he doesn't even know if it exists or if Elena would even take it.
Well, he could force Elena to take it, let's be fair.
What do you think this cure consists of? Is it a pill?
No, it's going to be like the Holy Grail or the Fountain of Youth or something like that.
Something
baptized
they drink.
In blood, something.
Okay.
It's going to be gross. It's going to be real gross.
What if the vampire has to drink from the old Silas body, but now his body is a rock?
You can get an axe pick. Start going.
But he's...
You can get blood from a stone if you have a witch.
He's petrified.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Okay. Blood from a stone. Got it.
Blood from a stone.
Okay. Anything to add? Anything to plug?
Nope.
My only plug is Doctor Who. We're still doing season 7. It's the second half of season 7. It's weird. We have a Twitter account at UndeclaredTVD, Facebook UndeclaredTVD spoiler group, where we've been having some very lively conversations between listeners. I really like seeing it. I don't always comment on them, but I like reading what you guys are saying. It's very fun. There's been a lot of discussion lately.
Oh, man. Don't be like that.
You can't talk about it.
I know.
We also have facebook.com/group/unspoiledclub for patrons only, or you can go to the Mighty Network, unspoiled.mn.co, which is also for patrons only, so become a patron. You do that by going to patreon.com/unspoiled. I think the minimum is $5. For $5, you get access to all of the back catalog, and you get access to the revival of the Twilight series, which is is for patrons only, because Miles and Natasha are covering Midnight Sun, and Miles wants to kill himself.
It's so awesome.
So that's fun. You can
it
also...
really is. It just totally makes my day.
You can also listen to all of the past shows that were for patrons only. And there's also, you know, everything else that Unspoiled has done, you can find there. Some podcast apps, I think, do a cutoff at some point where you can only access a certain amount of the uploads. So anything that might have, like, aged out on iTunes or whatever, you can find on, like, through the Patreon or through unspoiledpodcast.com. That's it. Those are all of our little links. I haven't done, like, new patrons in a while because Patreon changed the way that they do patrons. So I'm going to hold off and do that maybe when we start a new season or a new year, if they change it back to a reasonable way of collecting those names.
Yeah, I think Natasha figured it out and did a readout at the last Dresden Files.
She did one on Doctor Who, too, and it was, like, 2.5 months worth of people.
Yeah, it was a lot of people.
Yeah.
But...
but if I don't log into Patreon enough, I get locked out, and then I have to have Natasha, like, let me back in. It's a whole deal, so.
Ugh.
Anyway, that's all I've got. Do you have any last words?
Fuck Silas.
Okay. Well, on that note, until next week, always and forever, motherfuckers.
Hello, brother.
Unspoiled Network Podcast.